My text may be found in Luke 18, 9 to 14. They will read the word of God as follows. And he spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as they publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. A testament of caution, beloved. This, of course, is preparatory. Next Sabbath, we hope to celebrate the Supper of the Lord, as you know. I say just a word of caution. And the word of caution is this. When you hear about the Pharisee and his self-righteousness, don't look around. Maybe you did already. Don't look at your neighbor. As if he were the one whom the Lord meant in this parable. As if he were the Pharisee. Don't do that. You are the Pharisee. Not your neighbor. Don't look at him. But look at yourself. You. And of course, I, too, am self-righteous, conceited. We are, although we do not say in so many words, we are inclined to say, I thank thee, Lord. And mind you, to say that with ourselves, that's what the Pharisee did. I thank thee that I am better than other men. You can never say that. Maybe you don't, I don't know. Oh, no, I know you do, by nature. And therefore, You better listen. And I too, when I preach for a moment of these two worshippers, that's what they are. They are two worshippers. And we notice that they are different in every respect. They are different as they appear to men and to God. They are different as far as their spiritual attitude is concerned. And they're also different, naturally, as far as the result of their confession and of their attitude is concerned. Two worshipers, two different worshipers. How they appear, how they pray, let's say, and how they go home. And I say once more that this is supposed to be preparatory, beloved. And it's quite proper. I'm not simply applying a word of God to the Lord's Supper that does not fit. Ask yourself the question, beloved, whether that Pharisee could ever really celebrate the Lord's Supper. That supper is sign and symbol of the death of Christ. That supper, as far as the wine in that supper is concerned, is sign of the blood of Christ. And that supper, as far as the bread is concerned, is a sign of the body of Christ. You think the Pharisee could go to that supper? Oh, he might probably go. I don't know whether he belonged to our church. He might go. But, I mean, you think he could really partake of that supper, beloved? Of course not. He could not trust in the blood of Christ. He was good. He was perfectly all right. Had no need of the blood of Christ to purge away the sin. He couldn't have. Anyone that can say, I thank thee, Lord, that I'm so and so and so, I thank thee, Lord, that I'm such a good man, cannot partake of the Lord's Supper, beloved. The Lord's Supper is for sinners. For sinners. For saved sinners, but for sinners, nevertheless. Not for righteous. Not for righteous men at all. And therefore, you ask the question, could that Pharisee, if he lived, could he partake of the supper of the Lord? Could he partake of the wine, which is the symbol of the blood of Christ, and of the bread, which is a symbol of the broken body? And the answer is absolutely not. He couldn't. That's why I think this is a very appropriate passage of the Word of God, beloved, to prepare ourselves for next week's celebration of the Supper of the Lord. Don't you ever forget it. Let me say a few words, first of all, about that Pharisee and about the publican, too. The Pharisee, of course, is... As you know, I was rather, a very esteemed man among the nation of Israel. Must have been terrible when the Lord said in Matthew 23, all that he said about the Pharisees, ye fools and blind, whether greater and so on and so forth, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and so on. All the way through, the Lord condemns the scribes and the Pharisees, beloved, in a terrible manner. But they must have felt terribly insulted because they thought that they were the most pious and the most religious and the best men among the nations without any question. That was the picture of the Pharisees as he appeared to himself. Not as he appeared to God, but as he appeared to himself. Very well. The publican, on the other hand, beloved, in general, was a man that was despised. Despised among the nation of Israel. Why? Oh, in general, because he was wicked. Wicked in distinction from the Pharisee. But more particularly because he was at the service of the Romans, the enemies of Israel. He collected tolls and taxes. And undoubtedly you could say that especially the publicans were extortionists. They did not mind at all to take extra taxes and extra tolls to themselves. Thieves, extortionists, they were. All right. That is the difference between the Pharisee and the publican in the parable. Pharisee, upright, religious, pious, in his own eyes, the publican, wicked, in the service of the enemy of the people of God, the Romans, extortionist, and so on. But that is not all, beloved. That is, after all, only the appearance of the Pharisee and the publican as they appeared not only to men, but to themselves especially. They did. There is a very characteristic expression in the words of my text, beloved, in regard to the prayer of the Pharisee. The Pharisee stood, mind you, they both came to the temple and they both prayed. The publican as well as the Pharisee, they both prayed. And the prayer, even as far as the farm is concerned, the prayer of the Pharisee was quite different from the prayer of the publican. Listen, this first of all, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Hope you never pray that way, beloved. The Pharisee prayed with himself. And I think according to the original, you could just as well translate, the Pharisee prayed to himself. That's also evident from the contents of the prayer. No man could say a thing like the Pharisee said to God. But as far as the farm is concerned, nevertheless, beloved, the Pharisee prayed to God. But the text says he prayed thus with himself, or he prayed thus to himself. That was the prayer of the Pharisee, as far as the form of the prayer is concerned. Now, beloved, you understand, of course, that a man that prays thus, prays with himself or to himself, is not praying at all. You understand that readily. That's also the case with us, beloved. Don't we often pray with ourselves, you think? I do. I often pray, and after I'm through praying, I find that I haven't prayed at all yet. That means, of course, that the prayer I uttered before God was not heartfelt. Whether I pray publicly or privately, especially privately, if I do not pray so that I express the real meaning and the real feeling of my heart, I pray with myself and not with God. And that is not only true of prayer, beloved, that is true of all that we do. That's also true of the Lord's Supper. You must not partake of the Lord's Supper, and I must not partake of the Lord's Supper with myself and with ourselves. There's no meaning. We must pray not to ourselves, but to God. And we must partake of the Lord's Supper not to ourselves, but to Christ. That is, to Christ who died for us and rose again. Otherwise, there is no meaning in partaking of the Lord's Supper at all, beloved. Just you swallow a little wine and chew a little bread, that means nothing whatsoever. Remember that. Formalism is absolutely nothing. Formalism, mere formalism, is abominable in the sight of God. Remember that. Oh, it's much better you stay home. Mind you, I don't say stay home, but in comparison with listening to the word of God and partaking of the Lord's Supper with oneself, not with God, not to God, and to pray not to God but to self, it is not better that you never appear here again. That's the truth. You understand, of course, that the reason why, the deepest reason, not the reason which the Pharisee would admit, but the real true reason why the Pharisee could pray within himself is that he did not want God. He didn't want to pray to God. Why not? The deepest reason for that again is that God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. That is, after all, the deepest reason why we always do things not with God or not to God, but with ourselves. Well, at any rate, that was the Pharisee. The publican was altogether different. Now, as far as outward appearance is concerned, too. The Pharisee expressed himself, I thank thee, Lord, and so on and so forth, and so forth. I thank thee, Lord, and I'm not so and so, I'm not as other men are. And the publican, beloved, revealed himself as far as his outward appearance is concerned, especially in two ways. He didn't raise up his eyes to heaven. He didn't dare to raise his eyes to heaven. The publican standing afar off. He was in the temple, all right, in the court of the temple, of course. He was in the temple, but he was not near the Pharisee. He stood afar off. He didn't dare to go near, beloved. That's one thing. The publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Why? We see that presently. And in the third place, he smote upon his breast. Why? I say again, we see that presently, beloved. But that was the outward attitude of the publican in distinction from the outward attitude of the Pharisee. The Pharisee stood and praised himself and prayed with himself, within himself, and to himself. The publican stood and did not lift his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast. And finally said, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, let's ask the question a moment yet. Why did the Pharisee so pray within himself. Why? He said that himself, beloved. He explained that himself. The explanation is this. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortionate, unjust, adulterous, or even as this publican. He despised others, mind you, and exalted himself because, listen, I fast twice a week. That was more than the law required, beloved. Really, the law, apart now from special fast, the law required only fasting on the time of the Day of Atonement. But the Pharisee did more than the law. I fast twice a week. Still more, I give tithes of all that I possess. That means, beloved, although also that was not necessary, that was more than the law required of him. It means that he gave 10% of his income, of all his income, gave all that to the Lord. And now, don't make a mistake. Don't think now that I am saying that you ought not to give 10%. If you can, you ought to give much more. I'm sometimes afraid that you pass the collection with a penny or so and think that's all right. But that is not the idea, beloved. Not the idea of the parable. Don't ever think so. That is not the idea. But the idea is this, beloved. The Pharisee thought that he could make himself pleasing to the Lord by fasting twice a week, by giving 10% of all his income to the Lord. And he did not understand, beloved, and that is the truth, that he could not do anything to the Lord. He could not do anything for the Lord, nothing at all. He didn't understand that. And we must certainly understand that, beloved. Also, when we come to the Lord's table, we certainly must understand that. You must not think that we do all kinds of good works. Whether we come to church, whether we hear the preaching of the word, or whether we come to the Lord's table, nothing at all. We do not do anything for the Lord, beloved. The Lord does everything for us. And because the Lord does everything for us, we can, by his grace, stand and walk before him in thankfulness of heart. Then we can say, I thank thee, Lord, not that I am not as other men are, not that I fast twice a week, not that I pay taxes, that I pay 10% of all my income to the Lord. Oh, what a nonsense is that anyway? No, but that the Lord's grace has caused us really to walk before him according to his truth in humility rather than in self-exaltation. But that was the Pharisee. I am not as other men are. I am better than every other man. That's what he really says. I'm not philosophizing. The text says that too, beloved. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I thank God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. In other words, he makes a distinction between himself and all other men. He was good. All other men are wicked. Self exaltation. And he did not understand, as I said, that he could not give anything to the Lord, that he could not fast or do anything for the Lord, that the Lord did everything for him and not he for the Lord. Now, when we come to the Lord's table, beloved, that's the idea of the text too. We must not come to the Lord's table that way. Understand? Or we must not come to the Lord's table either of custom or superstition. But we must not come to be sure, not like the Pharisee. That is impossible. But we must come to the Lord's table, with the prayer of the publican on our lips and in our hearts. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, it's not so, beloved. That is only a proper prayer for the publican or for the publicans at that time. That is fundamentally, beloved, the only proper prayer, or let me rather say, the only basis of any proper prayer to the Lord. We must say to the Lord, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you cannot say that, you cannot only not come to the Lord's table, but you cannot pray at all. Don't you see? This prayer is the basis of all prayer that we can possibly utter. What a difference. The publican? Oh, he knew all right that the Pharisee was there. He knew that. And I have an idea. He too thought that the publicans, that the Pharisees were very good men and religious men. I don't doubt that at all. The publican would say, beloved, oh, the Pharisees are good men. I'm wicked. That's all. He was conscious of that Pharisee, all right. But nevertheless, he did not look at him. He stood afar off He raised his eyes to heaven and said, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." In the original, there is a rather peculiar word for merciful. It's rather comprehensive, beloved. It may mean, "O Lord, be reconciled to me." It may mean, "O Lord, be gracious to me." It may mean, "O Lord, be conciliatory to me." In other words, it's a very comprehensive word. But the fundamental meaning, the heart of the meaning of the term is nevertheless, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Notice, the Pharisee wasn't a sinner. The Pharisee enumerated all his good works, fasting twice a week and paying taxes and 10% of all his income, and so on and so forth. Not as other men are, but the publican, beloved, had nothing to say. Nothing. He didn't have anything good to say, and he didn't have anything bad to say. No, let me rather say this. If he had to say something, it would be all bad. Nothing good. He could not do as the Pharisee and enumerate all kinds of good works and all kinds of good things. He didn't. And he couldn't because there weren't any. Nothing but bad. There was in him. That's the idea. In distinction from the Pharisee. And so, all he could do, beloved, is ask for grace. All he could do is ask for mercy. Nothing else. He couldn't say anything else. All he could pray for, "Lord God, I'm a sinner, and therefore be merciful to me. Be merciful to me, a sinner." Don't you think, beloved, that is a very good, I mean good in the good sense, that is a very good and very fitting prayer for you and for me to come to the table of the Lord? Of course, you say yes, that's perfectly plain. That wine is the blood of Christ. That bread is the body of Christ. That wine and the bread mean the death of Christ. And the death of Christ is atoning death. That's what I need. And I need fundamentally nothing else. And not only that, beloved, but just as the prayer of a publican is surely heard. So, the proper celebration of the Lord's Supper, signifying the death of Christ on the cursed tree, will surely be applied to you and to me. The Lord willing, on the next Sabbath day. Well, finally, I must have a few words yet about that last part of the text. That is this. I tell you, this man, that is this publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. That is, the publican went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. And the reason is, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Just a word about that first part of my text, of this last verse of my text. It doesn't mean, beloved, that the Pharisee was a little justified and the publican was more justified. You understand, of course, that that is absolutely impossible. We are either justified or we are not. Nothing in between. And the Pharisee was not justified at all, beloved, as is very evident from the last part of the text. Everyone that exalted himself shall be abased. Oh, perhaps the Pharisee went to his house with the imagination or the imaginary idea that he was good. Maybe he even went to his house feeling that he had been more strengthened in his idea that he was a good man. Not impossible. Nevertheless, beloved, in reality, that was not true at all. In reality, the Pharisee got worse. He got worse than he was before. And I tell you, every time he and every time any man, every time any person assumes the attitude of the Pharisee, every time he says within himself, praying, I thank thee, Lord, I'm such a good man. I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not as other men, that I'm not an extortioner, thief, and so on and so forth. I thank thee, Lord, that I fast twice a week. I thank thee, Lord, that I sacrifice, that I give tithes to all that I possess. I thank thee, Lord, thanking. All the time it gets worse. A man never stays the same. And once on the way of that self-exaltation, beloved, he rushes on until he lands in judgment before God. And what will God say? Will God say to him, that self-righteous Pharisee, will God say to him, Oh, what a good man thou wert. You know better. God will say to him, I never knew you. Get out of here. Go to hell. But the puppet, that's something else. The Pharisee was not justified, not at all. But the publican was justified. Not because he prayed, not because he confessed that he was a sinner and all those things. No, beloved, because God justified him ultimately in the blood of Christ by his own grace. And so you and I must be justified or not be justified at all. You must be righteous, not because of anything you do, not because of anything you say, not because of anything you pray, not at all. Free, absolutely free, and sovereign mercy in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we hope to celebrate next Sunday, the Lord willing. Absolutely free and sovereign is the justification of the sinner in the sight of God. Amen. Thanks, Lord, for thy mercy. Thanks that we may know thy mercy. Thanks that our Lord Jesus Christ has realized that mercy. Thanks that we may look at our Lord Jesus Christ, even as he has given us the symbols of his death, his blood and his body in the supper of the Lord, and that we may believe, and that we may be strengthened in our faith, and remember us throughout the rest of this day, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We sing number 103. Lord, in thee I am confiding, that thou would answer when I call, lest my foes, the goody riding, triumph in thy servant's fall. Sing 1, 2. And 4, 1, 2 and 4, 103. the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with you. Amen.